Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's November 18, 2013, and this is episode 396. I touched on this in another episode a few months ago, but today I wanted to take a little bit more time to reflect on how I'm finding it necessary to be a bit of a jack of all trades. Of course, to succeed, we need to master, or at least strive to master, some areas of our work. But more and more, I'm feeling like we need a wide variety of skills to succeed today. This topic also feeds nicely into a discussion on the sustainability of doing work that you love. So let's jump into this and see where it takes us. It's been a bit of a crazy 6 months for me. My Iceland tour turned out to be a wonderful photography break in the middle of a very technical period that kept me way too busy and fighting for time to work on other things that are perhaps more important, but all relied on me completing the groundwork that I was doing. So it's been a bit of a vicious circle for the last 6 months. At the start of the summer, I made a conscious decision to update my website and bring all of the various domains that I've created over the years into one place. I'm not quite there yet, but most of the groundwork is now done, and it's just a case of making the time now to do the final changes in the coming weeks. There are a few reasons for the changes, but the biggest reasons are that I needed to reduce the time necessary to maintain my sites, and I also needed to implement a solid e-commerce back end in my main site. Not having this was one of the reasons I had multiple sites in the first place, so both issues needed to be solved before I could move forward. It's ironic that I've spent so much time each week for the last 6 months, though, doing the website-related work so that I don't have to spend so much time doing web-related work. But sometimes I think you have to invest time initially to save more time later. I'll go into a little bit of detail here on what I've been doing, just so, you know, I know that some of you are interested in this stuff. And then we'll move on to my general thinking about all of this. Generally, I quite enjoy working with web-related technologies. And so over the years, I've not found it difficult to invest the time in setting up the various websites for various reasons. The problem with doing this, though, is that they all need to be maintained. A lot of stuff I pieced together had to be heavily customized to meet my requirements. And this means that whenever an update for a base component came out, I had to spend multiple days migrating all of my customizations over to the new version. Sometimes I'd fall behind and I'd just about finish this work and then another update would be released and I'd have to do it all again. The more sites you build, of course, the worse the problem becomes. Trying to overcome this, a few years ago I decided to start using WordPress and themes that I'd bought and create websites using WordPress because it's well maintained, and with the aid of the community of developers that create various plugins for it, WordPress can be customized quite a lot without the need to jump into the code. One of the most frustrating things that I've found with this approach, though, is that some of the coolest themes were not created to conform to WordPress standards, and I ended up jumping back in and having to customize the hell out of them to achieve what I wanted. I tried to avoid this when I bought the current theme that's called Rhapsody, which I switched to just before I left for Namibia in May. The creators of the theme seem pretty professional and, you know, have a great lineup of themes, but a component of the theme broke with the release of WordPress 3.6, and I've actually been waiting for an update for more than 3 months now. I figured out where the incompatibility was, and it was a plugin that was sold separately. It was bundled with the theme, but I went off and bought a copy of the plugin myself because the original developers had actually updated that plugin, and so it was compatible with WordPress 3.6, but it was not implemented in a new version of my theme. So basically, I had to go and buy it. It was annoying because the people at Ignite Themes who made Rhapsody, if they just get their acts together and get an update out, I wouldn't have had to spend the extra money to buy the plugin again. So, that's also lost my, or at least reduced my confidence in the Ignite Themes guys as well. Of course, this leads to two issues that I'd like to quickly mention before we move on. But firstly, as you see, you can end up relying on third-party plugins and various bits and bobs that you put together to make your site work how you want it to. And if those people are not fully invested in their products, it can be really frustrating. So looking for a professional theme that's well supported is an important step. And I thought I'd crack that with the Rhapsody theme, but it turns out that I haven't really. The other part of this is that as you customize a WordPress-based website, you can come across all sorts of incompatibilities and third-party issues that most of the people developing WordPress plugins or extensions have no control over. This is another reason that I've had so many problems this summer. I decided to go with an e-commerce backend called WooCommerce, developed by a largish company called WooThemes. And they seem to do a reasonable job of their support, and they're pretty professional, which makes a nice change. WooCommerce itself is basically free and is very powerful straight out of the box, but WooThemes charge for their themes and the various plugins for WooCommerce. To enable me to take payment in multiple currencies, I needed to use a third-party plugin called WPML, which stands for WordPress Multilingual. Setting all of this up took over a month, but I got it all working and then set up a store with some fine art prints for sale, and that all works nice and smoothly now. What I hadn't anticipated is that WPML really slows the website down. So I thought I was done, but then I had to set up a new caching plugin and tie that into a cloud-based CDN or a content delivery network, which took another week or so as I ran into some more problems. Then, just as I thought I'd got it all working, WPML released an update that broke part of my Japanese yen payment workflow, right as we were starting to receive a lot of payments for the 2014 Winter Wonderland tours. Once again, I was painfully reminded of the importance of compatibility between plugins, and despite promising to work on a draft of my third Craft and Vision ebook, I had to spend an extra 3 weeks working with WooCommerce and WPML and even PayPal to fix a critical issue. After a lot of back and forth with all of these three companies, we now know what needs to be fixed, and I knew enough about the problem to implement a workaround to keep things moving until the fix materializes. Although there was a lot of stress towards the end of getting all of this implemented, I do feel pretty satisfied that I was able to handle all of these issues and get to the point that I'd been working hard to get to. I enjoy being able to turn my hand to various jobs. I always enjoyed making things, both physically and digitally now. I think that this is partly why I enjoy making my own gallery wraps. Although much of the process is pretty much laid out for us, but just the act of printing out the canvas, then laminating it, and then selecting the bars, putting it all together, and now also stapling the canvas to the back of the stretcher bars, I just find this sort of thing fulfilling. This, of course, is one of the main reasons why I enjoy printing so much. I've mentioned before that I enjoy it when I wake up and find a print order has come in, and I spend the first part of my day creating that print. Then I'll trim it down to size, and as I sometimes print on roll paper that's larger than the actual size of the print required, I just enjoy the process of trimming it up and getting it ready. When I hold that finished print in the air, and it just feels so good. especially when I think that it's going to be sent off to someone somewhere in the world who will get it framed and give it a home on their wall. This is quite humbling and yet an exciting experience. Thinking about it, the fact that I often print smaller sheet sizes on larger roll paper led to the creation of my Photoshop Fine Art border scripts that I not only enjoyed making, but having made them, I made them available to buy with my new WooCommerce backend, and they've now become another source of income. Hopefully, you can see the pattern evolving here. I came across a problem and had fun creating something to overcome that problem. I enjoyed the web work, so I now have a powerful and flexible e-commerce backend on my website, so I'm able to sell pretty much anything I want without too much additional work. The scripts have sold pretty well, thanks to some of you, and that helps to keep a roof over my head so I can continue to do what I love doing. This is similar to what I've mentioned before about my main business model now. I enjoy doing the photography tours and workshops and working with people to help them to make amazing images in beautiful locations, so I'm gradually building out my tour program. On the tours, I get to shoot my own images, which I can then sell as stock images as well as fine art prints, and I also get to illustrate my own ebooks and magazine articles with the print, and use these images on the blog, etc. People then get to read the articles or the ebooks, and or even you now maybe listening to the podcast or reading this on the blog, you get to see the images, and some people are inspired enough to join me on my tours and workshops. So it's all starting to bind together very nicely in a sort of self-perpetuating business cycle. That really brings me back to a point that David Duschamann and I discussed in our last chat in episode 362 of this podcast, when we were talking about what David had said in one of his books, that there's a difference between a job and our work. Most of us use the phrase going to work to mean that we are going to a certain place to do our job. And yet a job is really something that we do to earn money to live. We use the word work, on the other hand, to mean our photography or doing some other activity that often brings us satisfaction and pleasure. The difficulty, of course, as with any art, is in getting people to pay you for your work. Some, if not many artists, work their entire lives without finding a way to make a living from it, and yet we sometimes call the results of that their life's work. If we can figure out how to do what we love and find satisfying and get people to pay for it in whatever size increments, we can realize the artist's dream of living a life doing what you love. And that kind of brings me back to the point in that there have been a few times during this summer where I've come across issues that have taken weeks to surmount. And for the first time since I gave up my old job to become a full-time photographer, I actually felt stressed. I have a tendency to get a little bald patch in my beard, the little beard that I grow on my chin when I'm stressed. And for the first time in 3 years, I found two patches as I trimmed the beard recently, which was kind of a surprise, but kind of wasn't really. It had been a rough month or so. Now though, finally, the issues that I was fighting are behind me, and I can proceed with the writing of my next Craft and Vision ebook. I got the draft in and that's been okayed, so I'm now working on the third book. And I am also, once I finish that, I can launch a new micro sales product that I've been planning for a while now, because I've got the WooCommerce e-commerce backend in there now. It's all good stuff and I'm having fun. Even the troubles I had with the system seem pretty insignificant now that it's behind me. And I'm looking forward to plugging away at my task list again, advancing step by step. I guess I should also mention once again that I feel very fortunate to have been able to carve out this life for myself that I'm still working hard to make easy, but nevertheless finding very satisfying. From the start, I made a conscious decision to not do jobs that I don't want to do, and to not do jobs that I want to do for less money or alternative compensation than I want to do them for. Ignoring both of these fundamental strategies will lead to dissatisfaction and the work often becomes unsustainable. Basically, I think if you do stuff that you don't want to do just for the money, you can find it difficult to put your heart and soul into the work. And if you don't put your heart and soul into the work, it becomes a job. And I know that I didn't leave my old day job just to do another job, so I think it's worth putting some guidelines in place to stop it becoming one. An important thing to bear in mind here, though, as I've said before, is that you, of course, have to do work that pays the bills, and turning away job after job without some other form of income is a recipe for disaster too. I was able to build up enough various revenue streams that I'm making a living from now. My tours and Craft and Vision ebooks and magazine articles, my prints and digital products now, and stock images are adding up to keep a roof over our heads. It's because of this that I'm afforded the luxury of turning down work that doesn't totally mesh with my strategy. If I had not been able to develop at least part of this business before I left my old job, I'd have been doing more work that I don't like as I build out the business. But this is exactly what I recommend others do. You have to do something to live. And if that means doing a job that you aren't fully invested in while you build the business out, you know, the business that you would love to do, then there's no shame in that. Billions of people, of course, around the world do jobs that they don't want to do every day. There are obviously a very, very small percentage of people that actually get to do what they love and make a living at it. As I say, I still have a lot of hard work to do before I'm comfortable, and I'd be a liar if I said that there aren't still times when I get anxious because something doesn't go as well as I'd hoped. But at the end of the day, I'm confident that I'll succeed. And I think that this confidence is what you need to give you the courage to turn down the jobs that would pay you something, but not enough to make your chosen life and work sustainable. So, what does all of this have to do with photography? Well, I'm going to add the tag going pro to this episode because I think it has everything to do with setting up a business in photography. To come back to the title, I really believe that to succeed in business these days, you have to be a jack of all trades and the master of some. The areas of mastery are the core competencies, the backbone of your business. Without excelling in these areas, you aren't going to succeed anyway. But you have to be able to turn your hand to other areas or have the capital to be able to hire someone to do this work for you. I, for example, hire a tax accountant. He costs me $300 a month, and I pay much more than that at the end of the year, for example, just to get all of the paperwork into the tax man. Why? Because I don't have a clue of how to do anything to do with my taxes and that kind of accounting. Sure, I've learned a lot about accounting and running a business in Japan over the last 3 years, but I never intended to try to do that part of the business myself. Not only because it would be too difficult for me, but because I don't want to handle that stuff. I'm also fortunate that I have such a technical background and can handle the sort of work that I've spent a lot of the time this summer doing. That can be a bane as well as a boon, of course. It saves me the money required to hire someone to do it for me, but it takes up time that could have been used in other ways. This hasn't been a huge problem this year, but as I develop more tours, it will become one. This is partly the reason I attacked the issue this year. But there will come a time over the next few years where I will need to start to hire people more regularly. I don't think I'm looking at hiring full-time very soon, other than my wife who's already on the books, but there will be more long-term relationships with people like Michael Rammel, who's kindly helped me with the old podcast episode posting this year, for example. As I continue to grow the business out, I'll definitely need help with tasks that regularly take up my time and free me to work on other things that only I can do. I think running a business has become as creative an exercise as being a photographer these days, and I'm having a ball working on mine. And I hope that you find it interesting or useful to be kept in the loop on things like this from time to time. Before we finish, I did want to mention that the Craft and Vision magazine Photograph issue 5 was released earlier this week, and it's beautiful. There are amazing portfolios to look at and a wealth of knowledge from some of the world's best photographers. And I'm humbled to be a part of that and actually have two columns in year two. So you get a double dose of Martin if you should pick up a copy. You can see some screenshots and more details before you buy on my blog at mbp.ac/CVP5. So that's Craft and Vision Photograph 5. And I'll put a link in the show notes if that's easier for you. Remember that you can get to the images. There aren't really any relevant images for this week's episode, but normally you can read the text or follow along with the images with the short link mbp.ac and then the episode number. So this week it will be mbp.ac/396. So thank you very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.